say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe of why you do, why you do, why you do. I'm in awe of you.
This is Corey from Bible Baptist Church in West Union, Ohio. You're listening to Here's Hope with Pastor Tim Carter. Let's listen to the message.
All right, Isaiah 57, verse number 1. Music is a reflection of culture. I was born in the late 1960s, and so I was born into the, you know, the age of rock and roll. And rock and roll music is a picture of our culture. Rock and roll music is typically a music of rebellion against authority or right and good, and you see that in the lyrics and in the songs that are there, and sing the songs. I mean, be a born-again believer, all right, if you want to try something, because I did. I got saved, gave my heart to Jesus Christ as a 16-year-old kid, and then I still tried to sing those old songs that I used to sing before I became a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. And I'm on a highway to hell, just didn't seem to fit anymore, all right? And we don't need no education. That didn't seem to fit very well either. And plenty of those songs singing about the free life and Lucille in the sky with diamonds and etc. It just didn't seem to fit anymore. It didn't seem to fit with who I was and the person that God wanted me to be. And so, you know, but we get saved and there's who we used to be before we were Christians and then who we are after we get saved and the person that Christ is conforming us to be. Even in the Christian realm, music is a picture of our church culture. The younger generation, and really the bottom part of Generation X, which I'm a part of, and then the millennial generation, they have their assessment of what's going on. They see. They're not blind. That's why they write songs about, like, in the shadow of our steeple, all the lost and lonely people, and about when people come into church, how do we treat them? And they see that we say that we're the church of Jesus Christ, but we're not reaching out and caring about a world that's right around us. They have songs like Stained Glass Masquerade about how we put on our church face, and then, but it's only a masquerade. It's not who we really are. And then this song, which I heard being sung, and it made me sad when I heard it, but I never really looked up the words as to all that was said. If there is an anthem, I call it the anthem of the Laodicean church. The anthem of the Laodicean church. And it goes like this. Here's the words. Somewhere between the hot and the cold, speaking about how we're somewhere between being on fire for God and being cold. In the book of Revelation, chapter number 3, verse 15, Jesus said, I wish that you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And somewhere between hot and cold is lukewarm. It's exactly where Jesus does not want us to be. It's exactly where Jesus does not want us to be. I gave an invitation at the end of the early service, and there was a response. It wasn't a great response. And I just got to tell you this, and you better mark it down and put it in the memory for the rest of your life. Famous words of the Laodicean people. I'm fine. I'm fine. And if you in your Christian life, if you have the mentality that you're just going through and everything is, I'm fine in my walk with God, I'm fine in how I'm serving, I'm fine in my attendance, and you're really not fine. In fact, I'm fine is normally a lame excuse for I'm not doing very well at all. Somewhere between hot and cold, the songwriter writes. In fact, wasn't it Casting Crowns, isn't that who did this song? One of the well-known groups. Somewhere between the new person, right, and the old person that the old person we were and the new person we are, I think it's even deeper than that. I think it's even in our church philosophy, somewhere between a new church approach and of ministry and the old, and somewhere between who I am and who I used to be, he writes. Somewhere in the middle, and these are sad words, you'll find me. I understand it's a song, and it's not necessarily a particularly reflection on the singer of Casting Crowns, but I think that we're in a sad spot when one of our famous songs that we have that's played over and over in the radio is a song about Christians who are in the middle, who are neither hot, on fire for God, or not. Somewhere between the wrong and the right, what is that place? I'm not wrong and I'm not right. Somewhere between the darkness and the light. Somewhere between who I was and who you are making me. Somewhere in the middle, you'll find me. Just how close can I get, Lord, to my surrender without losing all control? What kind of a question is that? It is the question of our age. It's the question of our age and our Christianity. How close can I get to living for God but not lose control over my life? How can I walk the line of I'm a Christian and I'm on my way to heaven and I have a home in heaven and I'm a child of God, but then I don't want Jesus Christ telling me everything to do in my life. I don't want Him being my master. I don't want to fully surrender over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in my life. This is the question, listen, of a Laodicean church mentality. This song is the anthem of Laodicea. I'm somewhere between hot and cold. I'm somewhere between darkness and light. How close can I get to living for Christ can I get without surrendering full control? Fearless warriors in a picket fence, reckless abandon wrapped in common sense, deep water faith in the shallow end, and we're caught in the middle. You think we don't know what's going on? With eyes wide open to the differences. We know there's a difference. We know there's a cold. We're not exactly cold. We know there's hot. And we're not hot. We're not on fire. And with eyes wide open to the differences. I mean, we know what it's like as born-again believers. Every believer that's here, the day that you got saved, remember how on fire you were for Jesus Christ? Remember how your heart burned and nobody had to beg you or push you to read the Bible? Nobody had to twist your arm to try to get you to pray? Nobody had to stand over you to have a fervent burning in your heart to live for God the best you could? Nobody had to do that because you were on fire for the Lord. And now, praying is a burden or a hassle or an inconvenience. Reading the Bible is something we do when we have a few extra minutes when there's not something else on TV or online that we want to watch or listen to. Because we're caught in the middle. In a day where the righteous are perishing, in Isaiah chapter 57 verse 1, the righteous perisheth and no man lays it to heart. The merciful people are gone. And nobody considers that God is taking these people out of here for the judgment that is to come. I'm probably more aware of what's going on in the world right now than I ever have been in my whole life. I watched as they've been leaning on the John Kerry and the United States government to declare the Christian faith to be a people that are trying to eradicate from the world. They're trying to get the term genocide applied to people that are in the Christian faith. Have you been paying attention? Have you been watching what's going on in the world? About the junior high teacher that showed the clip of a member of ISIS chopping the head off of a person, and apparently the part where actually the head was severed off was blacked out, but it showed the head laying on top of the body and how she's in trouble and almost lost her job. And she said to her class, "This is the real world." But that is the real world. It is the real world. Are we not paying attention that you can't pick up the newspaper for more than 2 or 3 weeks without reading some news story about a bunch of Christians somewhere in the world that were captured and they were killed because of their Christian faith? I mean, are you guys reading the same news I'm reading? Because I'm telling you, I see it all the time. And about how just trying to get some acknowledgement in the world that they're trying to eradicate us and the endangered species, if we're not cautious, and if we continue to be lukewarm, the endangered species in the United States of America is going to be Christians. And we're sleeping, we're lulled into some false sense of happiness or temporary pleasure, while our brothers and sisters of Christ are being slaughtered all over the world, and that kind of thing, and you shall be hated of all nations, and that kind of torment is going to be coming to the shores of the United States of America if God's people don't wake up and figure out what's going on right in our own backyard. Are you watching what's going on in the news? There's so much hatred and bitterness. And I understand, and I've read enough history to understand, that we are in a very delicate situation in our country. People are fed up with the establishment, and the Republicans are afraid they're going to lose charge, and the Democrats are afraid they're going to lose charge of things. And there's this fight and this battle. We even have people turning cars sideways across roads to try to keep people from going to a peaceful assembly of someone that they want to vote for, maybe for president. And we're in a mess. And we're in a mess, and God's people are asleep. And our Christian music is a reflection of our culture and our Christian faith. And even our Christian songwriters recognize that we've got a problem. Somewhere between hot and cold, somewhere between darkness and light, I'm caught in the middle. How close can I get without losing complete control over to the Lord? And then he goes on to say, somewhere between my heart and my hand, somewhere between my faith and my plans, somewhere between the safety of the boat and the crashing waves, somewhere between a whisper and a roar, somewhere between the altar and the door. What a statement. Somewhere between the altar and the door. The back door. That means going out the door. Not hot at the altar. Not out the back door. But somewhere in the middle. Somewhere between contented peace and always wanting more. One is biblical contentment, and the other one is this desire to lust and to be greedy and to always want. Somewhere in the middle, you'll find me. Just how close can I get, Lord, to my surrender without losing all control? Lord, I feel you in this place, and I know that you're by my side, loving me, even on these nights when I'm caught in the middle. And it is true that the Lord loves us on the nights that we're caught in the middle. But God doesn't like us caught in the middle at all. We're in a dangerous place in our country, in our nation, and we need to be paying attention to what's going on. Even in Isaiah's day, as he prophesied in chapter 57, verse number 1, and he said these famous words, "The righteous perishes, and no man lays it to heart." You know, there have been so many Christians killed in the world, we're not even hardly paying attention anymore. It's just another place, just another group of 10 or 15 Christians that were rounded up. They put orange jumpsuits on them, marched them down, kneeled them down on a beach or on some sand somewhere, and got rid of them. Just another story of another example of a city that had a bunch of Christians in it that was raided, and they took the young girls and sold them off into as sex slaves for guys and killed their parents. And it's just another story that hits the news another day, and it's become such commonplace that we don't even hardly lay it to heart anymore, that the righteous are perishing and no one lays it to heart. Where have the merciful gone? Where have the merciful gone? Have you ever seen such a bunch of unmerciful people in our country? Have you ever seen such a mess? And the merciful men, they're taken away. and none considering that the righteous are taken away from the evil that's to come. None considering. What is God doing? He's letting the righteous and the merciful be taken away. And nobody's paying attention. But there's a day of judgment coming, and they're being taken away, and the ducks are lining up in a row. And it's coming to pass. Of all people, we ought to see what's going on. In the book of Revelation, chapter number 3, Revelation chapter 3, the problem, though, begs that Jesus Christ, now standing outside the door of people's hearts and even of his own church, knocking, wondering if anyone will hear his voice and will open to him. Chapter 3 of the book of Revelation, verse number 14, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. Who's the Amen? That's Jesus. The faithful and the true witness. These things saith the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and I have need of nothing. And Jesus said, you don't even know that you're poor and wretched, you're miserable, you're blind, you're naked, and you have no idea. You have no idea what you're really like. It's amazing how we can have such contradictory ideas about where we really are and about where God thinks we are, that we can say we're rich and increased with goods, but God's view of us is that we're poor and wretched and naked and miserable and blind. And the commandment of Jesus Christ is to call his people to repentance. I used to be this. I used to be one of those guys that said, I'm fine. And I don't want to be that way ever again. I won't be content pastoring a church that's that way. I won't be content going to a church that's that way. I don't want my best friends to be people that are lukewarm. And the only resolution to the whole thing is repentance. The problem is our inability to be able to see it in our own selves. That's the problem. That when you can't see it, when you wake up and you say, I'm fine. I'm fine. As long as you're fine, then we have nothing to work on here. It's only when a group of people will come to terms with the fact that we're not fine. Not fine. In our homes, we fuss and fight and argue and scream and yell. At our workplaces, many Christians are about as corrupt as anybody else. We try everything we can do to try to finagle out of service to God. We come up with lame excuses as to why God's work isn't our number one anymore. And how is it that all these things are taking place? We cuss. We take our Savior's name in vain. We cheat. We manipulate. We misrepresent the truth. When we're at school or at work, we tell the same dirty jokes that everybody else tells at school. And somehow, we walk in here and we say, I'm fine. And Jesus said, you're not fine. He said, in fact, if you were cold, I'd have a better shot of doing something with you than how you are. Because at least people that are cold in their walk with God know. I met a guy this past week. I appreciate his honesty. He said, I'm not saved. And listen, I appreciate that. I appreciate that a whole lot more than dealing with people who just say, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. You know who the hardest people are to win to Jesus Christ? People who think they're fine. You know who the hardest people are in a congregation to get them to do something for Jesus Christ? The people that are fine. Well, I'm telling you, we're not fine. And it's not acceptable to God. In the book of James, chapter 4, James talks about a very simple resolution to this thing. As he's talking about the fighting that was going on among the church and among God's people in James chapter number 4. And James has a simple resolution. And it starts with submission. Now it's interesting that in our song that we looked at the words to, I'm caught in the middle. And how close can I get, Lord, to my surrender without losing all control? And the answer is, you can't have that mentality and walk closely with God. You can't have that mentality and be on fire for God, because it takes full submission to God. It takes full submission. And that's where, when James talks about what can be done, verse 7, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The devil will flee. But before the devil flees, you have to submit yourself to God. Before the devil is going to flee out of your life, flee out of your home, flee out of your friendships, you have to first submit to God. And if you first will completely submit to God, and then you resist the devil, it's only then that he will flee. He goes on to say, if you will draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. And then he says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. And he says that to believers. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. And how dirty are our hands. And the picture of the Old Testament priest, before they would go in the temple to do the service of the Lord, and they would wash their hands as a ceremonial picture of the necessity of cleanness. And how often are we on our knees before God, calling on the God, asking Him for forgiveness of sins? The truth is, sometimes we're so dirty when we come in here, and then we still expect God to meet with us and commune with us when we haven't even washed the filth off of our hands as we've been out fumbling around in the world. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. And then he says these words, verse number 8. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Reminds me of the day that Elijah was up there, and there's 450 prophets of Baal. And there's Elijah, the man of God, in a sense, in that location. He wasn't the only one left, but in that location, he's the only one standing up for God. And he says these words. He says, if Baal is the real God, serve him. Listen, if all these other things in the world that try to draw our love and our attention and our affection, if that's the real deal, go for it. But if it's not, if our God, if the God of the Bible is the true God, then serve him. And how long halt you between two opinions, he says. How long are you going to stand here? As he calls them to action, and they just stood there like calves looking at a new gate. And he just stood there. He's like, hey, if Baal's the real God, serve him. But if our God is the real God, then serve him. And how long are you going to stand here between these two opinions? And James calls us to the same thing. He says, you double-minded. Half-minded to live for God, partly minded to live for the world, somewhere between darkness and light, somewhere between sold out and not living for God at all, somewhere between the altar and the back door. And every one of us is on a scale that's here today. You're somewhere between being out the back door and not serving God at all, and somewhere between the altar. The altar is a representation of on fire, submitted, humble before God, and the back door represents not serving God at all. And every one of us are on a scale that somewhere today, not just in your position where you sit here in the auditorium, but in your heart, you are somewhere between here and back there. And probably there are a lot of people whose hearts are pretty close to right back there today. You might say, well, what can I do? Quit being double-minded. Quit being double-minded. Either serve God or don't serve God.
But don't ride the fence. You're either in or out. But this accepting nature of being lukewarm and partly surrendered to God is unacceptable to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Get on board, little children. Get on board. Jesus Christ is coming back. It's time to surrender. It's time to submit. No more games. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, you double-minded, he says. And he goes on to say, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Amen. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to be just lukewarm Christians? Is that what we're going to be? We're going to be like a bunch of the other churches that are out there that are just content with status quo and we don't want to make any waves? Or do we want to do something for Jesus Christ? Which one are we going to be? Which one? That's what we have to decide. And we're going to make a decision. This congregation is going to make a decision about that. About what do we want to do? Listen, our wallets said, go. Now what are we going to do? Go. Listen, we go. I grew up not saved, and I grew up understanding lukewarm. I grew up understanding I'm fine. But when I realized I wasn't fine, that's when Jesus Christ was able to do a great work in my heart. You might say, preacher, why are you yelling around? Why are you screaming? It's time to wake up out of our sleep. For the day of redemption is closer than it's ever been before. And it's high time to wake up. And God asks this question, why don't they stir themselves? You got a preacher who's red-faced. I look like my head's going to pop off my shoulders. And it's because, not because my blood pressure's up. It's because we need Jesus Christ in a bad way. Do we not? I'm not content with being lukewarm. I'm not content with that. I don't want to die and go down in history as a believer that missed great blessings that God had. Because I was careless and lazy and lukewarm, and I tried to straddle the fence between being a great servant of God and being out in the world. I don't want to do it. I know what's out in the world. I don't want that anymore. I want Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Here's Hope, a ministry of Bible Baptist Church. Check us out online at hereshope.org. You can contact us by writing to Bible Baptist Church, P.O. Box 487, West Union, Ohio, 45693, or by calling us at 937-544-1818. If you don't already attend another church, we'd love for you to give us a try. Thanks for listening, and we hope you have a great week.
You say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe of what you do. What have I done to deserve your son, sent to die for me? What can I give? I want to live. Give me eyes to see. In a world that changing, this one thing I know is true. Your love is staying, there's nothing else I hold on to. You say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, say I belong.